Hello everyone and welcome to this Nintendo Life, a special release for the reveal of the Nintendo Switch. My name is NBZ, I'm joined as always by my co-host Bally. Bally, how are you holding up?
The hype train has started, it is here, NBZ. It has been a long wait.
It has been. It's been way too long, and man, it came out of the blue, this whole announcement, the whole, like, announcement to reveal to everything. It was quick turnaround. It was kind of astonishing. So before we jump into things, Bally, do you want to quickly talk about, like, how you figured out what the hell was going on and what happened? Because it was interesting when you kind of got the news about this.
Yeah, so I was out late going for drinks with some friends, and I was like, this has happened a couple of times where I was responsible for editing the breakout discussion from our last episode 77 for our YouTube channel, and I came back late and I was like, I'm a bit drunk, I need some food, but I need to edit the video. So I thought, right, I'll get a bit of food, had a bit of cereal, edited the video, and by this time it's like 2 a.m. sort of Brussels time, Central European time, and I'm like, I really need to go to bed, but I need to finish this video, upload it. So I did. And it's almost like my reward for, you know, fighting through the drunkenness, fighting through the edit and staying up late. And then all of a sudden, I'm just watching on my tweet deck and I'm just on Twitter and I just see Nintendo of America. And I see this picture of Mario appear. And it's just like, do you stick around for the Nintendo reveal coming 7 a.m. Pacific time. And I was like, oh my God. And I just immediately quote the tweet. And I'm like, boom, it's here. This is it. This is. And I just stayed up for another half hour, 45 minutes. And just was on NeoGAF and Twitter just absorbing it and just taking it in. And I was just shocked at how quick the turnaround was. And I was texting MBZ and I was like, he's gone to bed. Yep, he's gone to bed. He's
not
replying.
It was like 3 a.m. your time. So yeah, I was fast asleep.
It was 3 a.m. And I just could not wait for your reaction in the morning. And I actually got up before you because I was like well into work before you had replied to my WhatsApp. And then just seeing you like, wow, what is going on?
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous. I'm confused as to how you actually managed to get to sleep, Bally, because I certainly would have struggled with that mightily. But I guess it was very late. So plus you had some drinks, so it's easy enough for you to fall asleep with that as an aid. But yeah, so I found out this morning, just like woke up to like, I basically, when I wake up, I look over, kind of open my phone and kind of see what notifications I have. And I just have this string of texts from you. And I'm like, oh boy,
it's happening.
Oh boy, it's happening. I'm like, oh God, when? And you're like, your texts were like, it's happening tomorrow. I'm like, oh cool. Like Friday. Yeah. I'm just going to have nothing to do and chill. And, then I realized you sent those at like 2 a.m. my time. So by tomorrow you meant right now, today, the day I'm waking up on. I'm like, man, that's a fucking turnaround. Like, do you imagine most people in the UK just wake up today and find out it's happening today? Like, I think that's maybe the shortest turnaround. It obviously not Nintendo Direct, but between an announcement and a reveal of something, must be a record for Nintendo.
Yeah, definitely. I could not believe it. There's normally a solid 48 hours of, we're going to do a direct and it's going to come out at this time. And even with those directs, you know, they're pre-recorded probably before the announcement. But this, they were just like, right, let's just get it out there. And I was at work all day and like I'm on Twitter all day as part of my job. And it was trending all day pretty much, just in the UK, certainly. So that's something.
It is something. I'm interested, Bally, how were you able to avoid stuff before you got home and to watch stuff? Because that seemed like a bit of a treacherous thing because you were at work today, obviously.
Oh, I just watched a quick 3-minute YouTube video on my phone. It's easy. Yeah.
Watched it while you were at work?
Yeah, I mean, I was in a meeting until about half an hour, 45 minutes after the announcement, but then I just ignored it, went straight to YouTube, straight to the NOA YouTube channel and watched it, yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's good that you weren't, like, fully spoiled on it. I think everyone was spoiled on the name, though, because it was a weird release. Exactly, they weren't live streaming it, so as soon as the title for the YouTube video pops up in the thumbnail, you're like, oh, shit, that's the name. Which I think is a good place to start here, Bally, in our discussion.
Sure.
Let's talk about the name. It's no longer NX. It is now NS, if you like. Nintendo Switch is the title. very different, I think, from anything Nintendo has ever done before. Very different from any kind of console. But what I feel is the most prescient thing is this is a marketing name. This is 100% titled in order to tell people what it is, have zero confusion, and get people on board to correct the mistakes of the past, like with Wii U.
Definitely. It's very clear what this is. It's Switch. What's the Switch? You switch between inside and outside, home console, handheld. It's very, very clear, and I love it. And this is one of those things that I think the trailer emphasizes really well. Obviously, we'll get to the trailer, but there's a constant emphasis on when you're switching between home and handheld, where you're clicking the controllers parts
they're,
on
they're
and
called,
off.
So let's just get some verbiage out the way.
Hit me.
These little things that you're sliding on and off, the Wii Remote-esque things,
yeah,
are called the Joy-Con controllers. So you have the right Joy-Con and the left Joy-Con.
Right.
Is this a smart naming convention? No, nothing, anything Nintendo ever names that's not, like, systems is smart. Like, look at Miiverse, look at fucking the Wara Wara Plaza. Like, they have stupid names for things, right? No one's going to call them that, but that's what Nintendo's internal referencing is. They're called the Joy-Con things.
Right.
It's so hard, like, trying to come up with words to describe a lot of this stuff is a little bit confusing, because not only do you have
those,
but you have this shell of a controller that they slide into, as well as the tablet itself. So obviously this is going to be made more clear as the days go on, as we learn more about it. But for now, it's kind of as clear as Nintendo want to be. There's still some confusion going on, I think, in terms of the hardware. But it's not nowhere near as bad as it was the last time.
So the Joy-Cons are constantly being locked in and locked out, and it makes a very clear, like, clicking sound. And that's
the
great
thing. Yeah, they do a
great
job in the trailer of, like, emphasizing
really emphasizing
solid
it.
Sound about it.
And I actually think the word Switch is onomatopoeic. And
pit,
it actually, when you say the Nintendo Switch, you hear that ch. And the ch is like what they emphasize so... I don't know how that's picking up on my mic, but it emphasizes that sound, the ch sound, and that emphasizes how you switch between the two. And it's just like a really nice... It's great branding. It's solid. And
Bali, as an English literature student, I approve of that highly. Like, that's
you like
one of my favorite things.
Like my alternative take on this.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. Like, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. It is onomatopoeic of the sounds that's going to be constantly being made. Totally. It's a big deal. Do you like the name, though? I think that's the key question. Like, obviously, I think it's a great name marketing-wise. I think, like, from that perspective, it makes sense. But is it a good name for you personally? Do you like it? Do you think it works?
Yeah, definitely. When I first saw it, I thought, whoa, right, okay, yeah. I can buy that. And I was sort of skeptical, but not massively. And then after thinking about it for all of maybe a couple of hours, I was like, yeah, it's a pretty great name. I think, could it have been better? Possibly, but I mean, I can't think of a better name. And like, I think that it does everything it has to. And like you said, from a marketing perspective, it's close to perfect. But I think from I'm a Nintendo fan, I want a great name for this console. It's good. It's fine. It works.
I come from the perspective of I pretty much don't care what it's called.
Well,
I don't think it's a great name. But also, no video game console names are great. Like, they're only okay because they've been around this long. Xbox is fucking dumb. Xbox, it sounds like a fucking 90s product, right? PlayStation. A PlayStation?
That's horrendous.
It's terrible. Like, when you
a
step back and think about what video game consoles are called, they're all dumb garbage. So, I'm going to be fair, it's still dumb garbage, but who gives a shit in, like, 2 years when everyone knows its name anyway, right? Like,
precisely.
Everyone decried the Wii, but who gave a shit after a year? No one. So, like, ultimately, naming stuff is important. I think it's way more important from a marketing perspective than it is from, hey, this sounds cool. So, from that point of view, I think Nintendo have made the right choice in going with, you know, that as opposed to anything that's, like, sleek and cool. But if we're going to talk about the sleek and the sexy, Bally, oh boy, this thing is hot, is cooking, is what I like to say. When you first kind of open up the trailer and see the guy kind of sitting there with a controller, I was kind of confused, like, what is this controller he's using? Because you can't really tell.
That's all you're focusing on. You're seeing him sitting in the living room, looking at the TV, and all you're wanting to look at is the controller he's holding. And it's that's sort of like the initial suspense of the trailer. You're like, oh, it's here. What's he playing it on? And because you see Zelda on the screen, obviously we know about Zelda Breath of the Wild. Fantastic, but we want to know what the controller is he's holding.
And it turns out to be this weird dog-faced thing, which I am going to call the shell. It's the controller shell, which holds, the two Joy-Cons. And as he does, he takes them and slips them out and pops them onto the side of the portable device, which is basically a flat tablet that you can just click these into. So on the perspectives of these two controllers, Bally, we have one that is clearly meant for home use, one that is going to be used when you're playing on the TV, and it makes sense because you need to have a way to plug those two kind of controller pieces into something more tangible. There is a possibility to just play with the Joy-Cons on their own,
as we
see later in the trailer with the airplane section. Mm. But for me personally, that's not a good way of playing. Like, the Wii, it could work because of the nature of that controller. Sorry, apologies, I'm still quite ill. But with this, when you're playing a traditional video game, I just don't think it feels very weird and sparse to just be holding these two separate entities. So having it kind of at home, locked into something solid, it makes sense, right? And it looks like a decent shaped shell. The other thing is there's a pro controller, so you don't have to play with this shell thing. It just seems like something that, you know, acts as a charging base for the controllers, as well as just being an option out of the box, because I doubt the pro controller will be in the box or a bundle.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think it is as perfect as you can pretty much get when you want to come up with. When we heard the rumors, when we had an idea of what the system was, and we thought, how will they snap on and snap off? How will it all work? And they've really hit it out of the park, I think, in that style and comfort design, where you do have the Joy-Cons, I remember the name, attaching well to the central hub for when you're gaming in your home on the home console aspect. But then when you're away, you're, like you said, you can have them independently separate. But if you want that sort of more centralized stance while you're sitting gaming, obviously they attach to the sides of the tablet, which is perfect. And it looks so much like just a massive Wii U gamepad, doesn't it? It really...
But the Wii U gamepad does not look like a quality product to me. Like, no. It works fantastically for what it needs to do. It streams stuff well. But as a product, it looks cheap. And it kind of feels cheap as well. Like, there's not a great heft to the Wii U gamepad. And I love it, but it also has a bunch of design issues. This, as soon as he clipped the controllers into the side and pulled it out, I was like, that might be the sleekest product Nintendo has ever made. It looks like Apple design. It looks like the most comfortable, easy to use, like, big enough to get a great view on the screen. Like, it just seems like the ultimate handheld device. And you can play fucking Zelda on it. Like, it's so good. Man, it just looks so fantastic. How do you feel about the look and feel of it when it's the tablet version, Bally?
It's really stylish. And I think it's doing itself massive favors by being this sort of graphite gray with black parts on it. Whereas that just looks so much more high quality and distinct versus the sort of white branding that was used so much with the Wii U, and especially
it looks like a tech product.
Exactly. Like, it looks very, very solid, and obviously the screen is going to be much higher res, and that's sort of bringing the whole idea together. And even though we're just looking at it almost off screen, I don't know how you describe it, you're looking at a screen through the trailer on the video, it still looks a lot better and brighter than a Wii U gamepad will ever look. And that is,
I mean, it's a higher resolution, right? Like, it's a 720p screen at that size. It's going to look really nice when it's shrunk down. The one concern I would have is frame rate. But obviously, you know, Nintendo usually do a good job of making solidly running games. So I wouldn't be too afraid about it. It's just one possibility that could be a thing. Mm.
Yeah, and I'm still really interested to know, like, what the tech is in the tablet versus the dock, and, like, how all of that works, especially with a game of the scope of Zelda.
So Nvidia have confirmed that they are making a custom Tegra chip for this. So those rumors were correct. It is an Nvidia thing inside, which, you know, Nvidia make fucking good graphics cards. I have one. It's fantastic on my PC. They also do excellent mobile chips. So Nintendo partnering with them, smart move. And, you know, having Zelda look that good on the go makes sense to get a good partner with Nvidia to help them do that. But I think one thing, Bally, that also stood out to me was the types of people they were using to market this in the trailer.
Sexy models.
Yeah, there were always young people. They were professionals. They were 100% not kids and families. And I think that ties in well. Sorry, I'm kind of dying here with my illness.
You're just too excited, MBZ. Look at it. Today's been crazy.
So my point being that the sleek design goes along very well with that Apple crowd, that market, that young kind of early 20s thing that they're very clearly going for. Do you think that that is a deliberate ploy to get away from the family or kids market? Because in many senses, if you think about it, kids like what grown-ups think is cool, right? Which is why iPad and iPhone have been so successful, because they're these things that, you know, mum and dad are always using and the kid wants to use it because it's this cool thing. Do you think that will work off or pay off as a strategy for them?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. It is so distinct from the Wii and the Wii U, even in its marketing, even though the Wii U ultimately became something that was maybe aimed at more of a hardcore gamer. Is such a terrible term, but let's just use it for now. I think that this is the kind of trailer and is aiming at the people where I think someone like Sony or Microsoft, if you compared their reaction to this trailer to, say, when the Wii U was revealed, I think with the Wii U, they'd be like, oh, well, that looks great. With this, I think they'll be like, oh, crap, they're kind of aiming at a lot of people that are kind of in our market. And that is kind of ballsy from Nintendo when you think about it. Because this thing, like all those people, you could imagine them playing other systems like, you know, the Xbox One, etc. But Nintendo is saying, yeah, you might enjoy your Xbox One, but can you play it in the park when you're walking your dog? And like, that's the big thing they're going for, obviously, with this trailer. And I just think that is massively like backs to the wall Nintendo coming out with the fight, and this trailer really did that. And it's pretty brave to say we're Nintendo and we're going to move away from our family market to some extent, because they've not done that in a really long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think though that like when you look at this product and the way that it has so much focus on the handheld aspect, Sony are definitely going to be concerned in terms of Japan, because the only product that they have there that does well really is the Vita. Like, the PlayStation 4 has sold okay. Actually, it's sold pretty dismally if you think about Japan. But, like, Japan's console sales are terrible. If this is capable of running PlayStation 4 quality games, then Sony should say goodbye to a lot of their development support. Not goodbye, but to market share, right? Because if a Japanese consumer has the option to play Persona 5 on the NX versus the PS4, guess what? They're going to go with the portable system, right? So that's probably going to be a big, big thing for them in their home market. And I think Nintendo have every right to do well in that market, considering the way this is positioned. So I think they're going to do well. Obviously, overseas, it's going to be a different story, but I'm going to be very interested to see how they approach more of the marketing on this and how it goes. But I think, Bally, we need to talk about the Joy-Cons themselves, because there's a lot of stuff going on about them, right? You have them slotting into places, you can detach them separately, and you can also use them for multiplayer, which is two-player multiplayer on the same screen, as far as we can see, with one person using one of them and other person using the other. This also calls into question the whole split D-pad situation, because we have separate buttons, on either one. There's no more crosshair D-pad going on. How do you feel? Because to me, this is the weakest part of the design. And obviously, it's hardly going to get used. There are going to be some subset of the audience who really use this frequently because they have a lot of people around. They want to do local multiplayer. But it just doesn't make sense to me ergonomically. It just feels like basically playing a Game Boy Micro. And I don't think that's comfortable.
I think it's a really unusual choice. And you're right, perhaps one of the weakest for a number of reasons. Like, for example, they have the patent on the actual chunk of plastic, the D-pad. They have that patent, I believe, in everywhere except for Japan.
Patent actually ran out a couple of years ago. That's why the Xbox One controller has a crosshair D-pad on it.
Right, so the whole world can use a D-pad.
Yeah, they can now.
But that was always such a core part of Nintendo systems, and I'm a little shocked that it is gone. But what would bring me a lot of hope, a lot of joy, is the fact that if they could just sell like one of those Joy-Cons by itself for, I don't know, 30-40 quid with a D-pad, and you just slot it right in and you take it home and slot it right in and start playing. So like,
that is absolutely true. Yeah, because the customizable nature of this, that precisely works 100%.
If there is a genuine backlash, and I'm sure there'll be a petition to get the D-pad back, oh, we're Nintendo fans, get the D-pad back. Well, great. But I'm saying it's totally doable. And if you're Nintendo, like, it really wouldn't be a massive cost either. Like,
I'm going to rein you in for a second there, because the D-pad isn't 100% gone. The Pro Controller has a standard D-pad on it.
Oh, really?
So
that is really interesting.
So the only people who are losing out here are people who like that old D-pad, but majority of the time play on the tablet, because you have to use that, you know, the separated buttons one.
And
there's definitely going to be a market of people who would want a Joy-Con that has a standard D-pad on it. I agree.
Definitely. But I think what they've gone for with the current Joy-Con format is the whole point is that when you detach them is that both sides are obviously the same. The shoulder button versus the analog stick and the four face buttons are on opposite sides, but it's such a sort of simple symmetrical shape that you can just flip it around either way. And as long as you're not using the shoulder button, it doesn't actually make a difference of the controller you're using.
Yes.
And I immediately, when you're talking about like two players looking at a screen, you essentially got someone with a full analog stick and four face buttons to look at a screen and play. Like, you can play a lot of games with that few number of buttons. And like, it makes me think about that WarioWare table tennis game where we'd both be holding half the DS and just going back and forth. And like, this is where I'm starting to think that they could start reeling it back in a bit and aiming more at that family market, where they're like, let's put a mini game collection on, you can detach it and go on the go and play each other. And I don't think that will be like, you know, a massive focal point of their marketing and what they go for, but I think they'll bring out some sort of mini game collection that could be quite interesting. And it's just, even if they do in a year's time resort back to D-pads on this thing and you'll never see the four face buttons again, so be it. Like, for now, it's obviously what they're going for. We'll see what they do with it. But like I said, it's quite easy to back out a bit and say, okay, here's your Joy-Con with a D-pad.
Yeah, I actually, like, thinking about it, it's going to be a very rare use case, but it will be a unique, interesting thing that nothing else can do. Whereas, like, if we're on holiday and we're going on a plane or something, and I'm with, I don't know, my family or something, my sister's like, oh, we can play some Mario Kart real quick. Like, you just can't do that on any other system. It's just an impossibility. So, obviously, there's drawbacks. Thing is, like, we know that you can use the Pro Controller with the tablet as well. So, if I wanted to, and I didn't want to play as a handheld, if I wanted to like set it down on the airport, not on the airport, on the plane with the it has a freaking stand, so it can like lay back nicely.
And they made that
very useful.
Yeah.
Then I could just whap out my Pro Controller and play Zelda that way if I wanted to. So like, there is a customizability here that is going beyond maybe what people expected.
But this is also one of those things where if you step back and think about it, like, local multiplayer is like one of these things that is really, really dying a slow death, or arguably.
Right.
And Nintendo have always been like such a champion of local multiplayer. They always have those modes in almost all their games, and like gaming at home, gaming with your family, gaming with your friends. You can do it here. This is like a continuation of that ideal in like a portable form, which is just really cool. Personally, I think it's saying we're Nintendo, we believe in local multiplayer, and if you have to do that on a handheld, so be it. We're still going to do it, and it's arguably one of the most innovative parts of the Switch.
It's the solution to no one comes around to people's houses anymore to play stuff. Instead, you take the system to people to play stuff. So yeah, in that case, absolutely. I'm interested to see if you could maybe connect two Switch Pro controllers to one device, right? So that if you wanted to have a full control input system, like if we wanted to play Smash Brothers on a plane, for example, could we both whap out Pro controllers and play? Because I can't imagine playing Smash Brothers with one analog stick and those buttons.
It's like those hardcore people playing with a Wiimote on its side, isn't it?
Oh, God,
like,
fuck.
I'd be surprised if it didn't connect to Pro controllers, but we'll wait and see.
So closing out these Joy-Cons, I think we need to talk about all the buttons on them. Obviously, we've discussed the analog sticks and the main face buttons. There's a home button. Makes sense. That's kind of a stalwart that's been there since the Wii. So obviously menu stuff going on there. The one on the other side is this unmarked button. It has a circle in it and it's a square. People have said, this is including people who have correctly guessed all these leaks, or not guessed, I guess, reported all these leaks, including Laura K. Buzz, who she reported on the share button being a thing. Apparently this is the share button or some form of it. So they haven't really delineated it on the controller. We don't know what it's going to do. Maybe they're holding that back. Maybe
that's like a big reveal coming.
Yeah, maybe this is a placeholder image right now, exactly, that share button. And it'll be something different later. We'll see. It certainly, I don't think they're going to ship with a button like that. You know,
yeah,
like it just doesn't say anything. It's just a square. So that makes sense. You also have the plus and minus buttons at the top, which Sleuth on Twitter, mega detective Jonathan Metz, pointed out that when the guy clicks out the controllers, he seems to be pressing those two buttons. So that may be a way to release them as a spring-loaded thing. But they could also be pause buttons, start, select, maybe? I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, in this era of...
For when the Joy-Cons are separated, they could still be a button.
They could be, yeah.
And a spring.
And a spring. I don't know. Yeah, it depends maybe how you press them. But his assertion from looking at the thing was the guy looked like he was pressing those buttons when he was removing them.
Mm.
So that's speculation, right? Like, we don't know if that's true or not.
I mean,
but I could believe
it. Makes sense for it to have some sort of button so that it locks. Otherwise, the things are just going to slide in and out all the time. You need something to press to release, you know?
Yeah, and it doesn't look, from what we've seen so far, if there's anything else that can do that. So if that is indeed the case, so be it. That sounds fine to me. We also have two shoulder buttons. There was a couple of shots in the trailer that made it look like they were maybe a little small. I definitely think the L and R buttons are very thin. They don't look like there's much to them, but the shoulder buttons, the triggers at the back, definitely feel a bit bigger, and they have a surface to them that seems pretty decent. So, yeah, I mean, that's standard stuff. We have two shoulder buttons, which is like the bare minimum we ask for in a controller. Bally, what do you think about all this other peripheral stuff? You think it's solid that they've added all the additions they needed? Were you worried that they maybe only go for one shoulder button because of the compact factor?
Yeah, I don't know where I stand on like two shoulder buttons versus one. Whenever I hear about shoulder
Smash
buttons,
Brothers, you need it, right? So obviously
two shoulder buttons.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like on both sides or like overall? On both sides, shoulder buttons, one each side, absolutely. That's really important to me personally. But whenever I think about shoulder buttons, this is really lame. All I think about is the GameCube shoulder buttons, and I think about the games that utilized like the snap function within those shoulder buttons, and then that makes me think about GameCube Virtual Console, and it makes me think about wanting to play all of those great games, and will the NX have... NX. Look at me. Switch. The Switch. Nintendo Switch.
Will the switch over, Bally. You got to switch over.
I've got to switch over. I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
Me and names, anyway. Right, the Switch Will it have GameCube games? Because, you know, I think that'd be a really cool thing to have. I don't think it's a thing that reaches out to loads of fans, whatever. But I think for pleasing, you know, the people who own GameCubes and things like that, it'd be great if it could play GameCube games out on the virtual console.
Okay. So I think the next notable thing to talk about, which we didn't actually discuss when we were talking about the Joy-Cons, but is the placement of analog sticks. Because in the past, Nintendo, with the Wii U Pro Controller, went with this weird function where they had them both on top, which is kind of the only place that they hadn't been before. Like, obviously, Sony both down below, Microsoft have them indented from one another. I don't know a better way to say that, but like one higher, one lower. Nintendo seems to have just gone back and made a 360 controller again, but this time absolutely is a 360 controller, because their Switch Pro is two analog sticks, one high, one low. It's the same, obviously, on the tablet screen with the Joy-Cons. But yeah, that man, that Pro controller looks solid as hell. Like, it looks a robust, really good. Here's a bog standard video game controller. Give it to me.
Yeah, definitely. I think. Do I like analog sticks high or low? I really don't care, to be honest. Whenever I've played... What's something with a high and low? Xbox, you say?
Yeah.
So, yeah. When I've played Xbox One and stuff in the past, it feels fine. Like, it doesn't really doesn't bother me being high and low. And here's like what we were mentioning earlier. If everyone really reacts to this, then all they do is they release a Joy-Con and they swap them around. It's really not a big deal, it feels like, you know? Like, I think it's really customizable if Nintendo want to change. Like, what if Nintendo on their website had customizable Joy-Cons you could edit online, get them in the color you wanted, get the button layout the way you wanted, add on custom buttons, whatever. Who cares? What if it's customizable and they just send you your Joy-Con, plug it into your Switch, and there you go. Like, I think that the placement of buttons and things like that is so changeable and fluid and liquid that... I'm really open to the idea of this whole detachable thing entirely.
Yeah, no, I really like your idea about the Joy-Cons being customizable, because it allows people to spec it to what they prefer.
Yeah.
And that's what the system really is about. You know, it's a portable system. It's your thing. It's the thing you're going to take with you. So it would make sense for them to kind of help that way. And also, look, they're going to make a fuck ton out of peripherals, like they always do. They always make a bunch of money out of peripherals, and maybe that is a good way to kind of segue out of this hardware discussion. I think the only other thing we need to discuss is the fact that there's cartridges being used, which was a rumor and makes sense.
Can I make one point just on the Joy-Cons finally?
Okay, sure.
Ever since the day one of me buying a Wii U, I've been terrified about the fact that the Wii U gamepad, its analog sticks are attached to the screen, like the pad itself. I've been through a couple of GameCube controllers where the analog sticks just, the springs just wear out and they get tired and they become less responsive. And ultimately, this system is so great because there's no fear in knackering your analog sticks, because you can just buy replacement Joy-Cons. And I just think there are so many benefits to the system they've gone for that it's just... it's fantastic. But anyway.
Also, there's less chance of them being damaged in your bag if you detach them and put them in their own holder or pouch or whatever. Right?
I just can't think of any negatives with these things. They're just too good.
Obviously, the negative is the whole multiplayer thing. Like, we mentioned that already.
Yes, no, absolutely.
But again, you could see that as a weird positive, because it's like this bonus that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, so yeah.
You can spin it certain ways. Anyway, just quickly mention cartridges. They're calling them game cards. That's what the slot says. It says game card. But we're on this NeoGAF thread kind of scrolling through. Do you see the image where there's like a bunch of different images?
Yes, I am. I'm looking at it right now, actually.
Right, so you can see the game card, right?
The top left, bottom down one, yeah.
Yeah. So the card itself looks quite thick, comparative, I think, to your 3DS card.
It does, yes.
I think you got a better impression of that during the video. But it is large, and also the back of it looks like way different. So my one thing here is, if there was a possibility of backwards compatibility with 3DS, that would be the only way to do it, right? Because there's no discs involved in this system. Mm. What are your odds on that 3DS has some sort of interaction here? Is it possible that there would be a way to slot those in as well?
I mean, we can't see into that slot, and we don't know how its contacts would match up with a 3DS cart, but I think it is totally possible. I mean, obviously, I guess the Switch would operate a lot more like a 2DS and a 3DS. I don't think there's going to be 3D capability in any form whatsoever. And obviously, it is one screen, but it's two screens if you're playing at home with the pad. So could it emulate 3DS games? Of course it could, in a way. I think it's possible. What's interesting about it is that it might struggle to play 3DS games on the go, because you're looking at one screen when you're on the go, and it would have to have some sort of formatting, a bit like the DS has with the Wii U virtual console, where you can customize how you look at the two screens. So I think it's doable. Will it happen? I probably side with probably not, but I think there is a chance for sure.
Okay.
Would you
agree?
We'll
see. Yeah, I think there's a possibility, but I wouldn't bet things on it, because my feeling is that this is going to try and bring games over anyway. Like, I feel like there'll be a port of Sun and Moon, or, you know, obviously, like, Wii U games are getting ported to some degree, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But yeah, it's a possibility. I just don't think we can really judge at the moment. But yeah, also, I think it's significant that those cards are much thicker this time.
I think, like, the 3DS life cycle, I read something about it aiming for 2018.
Yes, they have kind of, or I think someone had mentioned that that's what Nintendo's plan was.
And
so.
I think it might be strange if two consoles running side by side, where one of the consoles actually just plays the games of the other console, it might not work, but we'll see. I mean, the DS was originally meant to go alongside the Game Boy Advance, and it played Game Boy Advance games, so maybe that's a false argument, but
yeah,
I think it's interesting.
It is. Before we wrap off our discussion of the hardware itself, Bally, I got one question. Is there too much shit here? And what I mean by that is, let's count it out. We have the tablet, we have two Joy-Cons, we have the shell, we have the dock, we have the Pro Controller. Nintendo have been known, especially in recent times with Wii U, to just have too many fucking peripherals and ways that you can play your video game. Like, the balance board, the Wii remotes, the nunchucks, the Wii U Pro Controller, the Wii Pro Controller that plugs into the balance board. Everything seems to be this bringing forward from the Wii generation to Wii U that just made it a clusterfuck. They're abandoning all that, but they're creating perhaps a new clusterfuck. How do you feel about that? Do you think that this is easily able to be communicated, or do you think that they maybe need to calm down somewhat?
I feel a lot more positive about the messaging with this versus the Wii, for the simple reason where, although, yes, you can take the Joy-Cons off and play them on their side, other than that, the actual way that you play, as in the buttons you have accessible to you and the way you're playing the video game, doesn't actually change between using the Pro Controller or attaching the Joy-Cons to the tablet and taking it with you, or attaching the Joy-Cons to the funny chunk of plastic that you play
the shell that you play at the
home console setting. Whereas the Wii, you've got the balance board, the zapper, and you're actually completely changing your actual gaming experience, where I think that can be very confusing messaging-wise. I think this is a lot more solid and sleek, where there's essentially two modes of gaming. You've got the Joy-Cons on their side, or you've got them attached on the side. So there's nothing else in between that we know of yet that would overly confuse the message. And I think that's a very strong message, where it's going to appeal to gamers, and it's going to say, look, you want that local multiplayer experience? Well, here, take one of these Joy-Cons. We'll race each other at Mario Kart. Great. But then it's very simple at the same time to say, actually, we're going to have a multiplayer experience where you have your own Switch controller, and I'm going to have my own one. We're going to play a home console together on the big screen. And I think that it will work a lot better than the numerous peripherals that the Wii came out with.
Okay. Quick note here, the shell we've been talking about actually has a name. It's called the Joy-Con Grip. So
I like that. There you go. I like that. It works. Joy-Con,
I mean,
grip.
As far as the word fucking Joy-Con.
Yeah, once works. I'm already on board with Joy-Con. That took me on my brain to get used to. But like,
I
when
mean,
you're
we've said it
grip,
like 20 times over this last half hour. So
Joy-Con.
You should be used to it by now. Bally, let's talk video games.
Video games.
This is a game system, so it must play video games. A lot more. And a lot more varied games than I expected to be shown. I thought that what from people were saying, Zelda was going to be the focus. They'd use that to kind of show off the base features. And then we'd maybe get a tease of a Mario game. We got a little bit more than that. Actually, a significant bit more. So, more for Zelda. Looking good. You know, nothing too crazy. The one thing I'd point out...
They released a trailer earlier. I say trailer. You didn't like the word trailer.
It's not a trailer. It's the same music being played over more gameplay. I don't see why people
That's
say
That's how you
trailer.
Make a trailer.
No.
And it was
trailer
something.
A directed thing, Bally, with specific moments and cues. This was the same music with nothing like directed about it.
It was more game footage of Breath of the Wild, and it was released earlier today, which I thought was interesting.
And that showed nothing new, to be honest. Like, that
it
was
showed a frog jumping out of the water. It looked beautiful. Shut up.
Great. Yeah, but it didn't... Oh, my God, Bally. It didn't show beautiful. Anything new. Showed
it
nothing
beautiful.
New. It was okay. I'm not denying it's beautiful, but it showed nothing new. We actually got something kind of new from this one. The thing that sticks out to me is the giant fucking enemy that the guy is fighting when he's out in the park, which definitely shows that, man, this game's going to have some threatening presences. Reminded me actually of Xenoblade, you know, when you're wandering around and seeing those
Xenoblade
enormous
Colossus,
creatures.
Let's take down a big ass beast. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love that.
So, yeah, you excited for just more stuff like that in Zelda?
It just better be at launch. That's all I'm saying. It better be.
It has to be.
It can't not be, surely.
It's the showpiece for this system.
It is the showpiece.
It's the reason people are going to buy it. Yeah, so Zelda looks great. I don't think there's a huge amount to say about it because, like, we've seen it already. It's a good video
between
game.
Now and its release, and you know, we're playing all the Zeldas. We're getting there. We're going to be talking a lot about Breath of the Wild.
Yes. So the next thing they show, I believe... completely slapped me across the face, and this is probably the thing that surprised me the most about the entire trailer: Skyrim on a Nintendo console. Now, step back a second, and you can say, okay, MBZ, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, come on, this is a port from 5 years ago? Like, that doesn't mean anything. Look at Wii U, it had the Arkham thing, and it had the Mass Effect, and then what happened? Yeah, they all ran away. And I agree with you. There's 100% possibility that Bethesda runs away. But it's Bethesda. Bethesda, who have openly criticized Nintendo in the past, who never in a million years would I ever imagine them giving a Nintendo platform a shot, and yet they're putting out a product on one? The fact that Bethesda are on board in any way says to me that this has more potential than Wii U ever did. Bally, obviously, you're one of the seven people in the universe who have never seen Skyrim and didn't know what it was, so I had to tell you what it was. How do you feel knowing now that that's what that is and that Bethesda are supporting this platform?
I know about Skyrim. I have a number of friends who love that game a lot.
Your friends played like hundreds of hours of a uni, and then you came to me and you're like, what's that game with the sword? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Because in my mind, Skyrim, and this is something where Nintendo is very unique, Skyrim just doesn't to me have a very distinctive look. Like, I think that obviously
it's kind of like generic fantasy role
playing. I just see generic fantasy, and that's what I remember. I don't associate it with being Skyrim until someone tells me it's Skyrim. So when I'm just visually looking at a fantasy dude running along with a sword that is not overly distinctive, I don't associate that with Skyrim. If I had to guess, I would have said Skyrim, but I don't just immediately think Skyrim. So I hope I've explained my
very I'm giving you a hard time, Bally.
But, you're giving me a hard time, but I'm sure there's another couple of people out there in the entire world who...
I don't know. I think seven is it. Anyway,
I'll go seven.
So how do you feel about that? Do you think that that says anything? Because, like, this is a company which is so far away from Nintendo in, like, every aspect possible.
Yeah. I think exactly like you said, it could be like Ubisoft with the Wii U. They might run away very quickly. Even if they do, this is progress. Like, this is big. Like,
this is significant progress. If like they stay, any other third party, I would be like, okay, sure, like they had them at launch. Bethesda is a different kettle of fish.
It's huge, yeah. I completely agree. And if they're gonna, if I mean, that's gonna be the test, isn't it? It's gonna be, right, if Skyrim Remake sells well on NX, I did it again. The Switch.
It's Switch. It's like the swapper, the switcher. They should just call it the switcher.
The Switch. If Skyrim sells well on the Switch, they're gonna, when the new Skyrim comes out, they're gonna be like, right, let's release that on the Switch as well. That is when it gets that's when it gets just colossally huge. That would be,
but that's when I gonna kind of think, like, what, can they put it on there? Like, is it? It becomes a power question,
will
right?
It
which
run
is
well?
Always the question: will it run at all? Like, and will it run?
But putting out the HD remake and putting out a game like Zelda Breath of the Wild are two great games to test that theory, where people can be like, right, I played Breath of the Wild, I played the Skyrim HD remake on the Switch, and it worked really well. And yeah, then people will be more convinced that it could run the new Skyrim whenever it would come out. I think they could win over the market, but you're right, in terms of the actual power and specs and the people who get, you know, really nerdy about the power of these things, they might be questioning the how the ability of the Switch to play a game like that.
Ultimately, this is a safe move for Bethesda. They're already making a remaster of Skyrim. It's coming out on the other two consoles. Fuck's sake, I did now, Bally.
You've done everything.
The Switch. The Switch purportedly is easy enough to port to, so it seems like a no-lose situation for Bethesda. Test the waters, see what happens.
I'd buy it.
I think their willingness to dip their toes in says so much more about this platform than Wii U said, right? Like, just the willingness of them to actually give it a shot, as opposed to not even bothering to put resources towards it. But I think the other really interesting part of this is those two games, Zelda and Skyrim, they're these enormous sprawling RPG style open world games, right? Yeah. And that's what they're selling. They're selling, you can play this huge adventure on a plane, at the park, wherever. You can just take it with you, and it is consistently there alongside you. And for games like that, that's huge. Like, people have trouble finishing games like that because they're so long, they take forever. But having the ability to move it around the place, enormous, right? Like, it makes the argument so compelling, that stuff.
We've been having huge debates on the podcast for quite a while now about the difference between home console gaming and handheld gaming. And we've used examples like Link Between Worlds and these games that are very focused on and are designed in a very handheld way. Or a game like 3D Land. I mean, ultimately, 3D World was home console, but 3D Land's very handheld friendly. But all the marketing and this trailer and everything we've seen so far, the Switch is not handheld. It's a home console that you can bring on the go. And I'll be interested to see the first games that start being revealed that you could argue have a much more handheld backing and base. So obviously, Pokemon, or just even... Yeah.
Pokemon's
going
to be a fascinating one to me. Like, how the new Pokemon looks is definitely going to give the tone of, like, how the system's going to go going forward.
And that
makes a lot of sense.
It's just such a big feather in their cap and, like, such a great card to play that we just know nothing about so far. Like, NX Pokemon. Switch!
The Switch.
Pokemon is... It's going to become, like, the next big question, I can tell. It's going to be, what's it going to look like? When's it going to come out? How's it going to work? And it's going to overshadow Sun and Moon to some extent, I bet, because everyone's talking about this thing now, aren't they? And it's just going to keep getting worse and worse until March.
Yeah, it is. It's but, you know, it's 5 months, but it's such a short time. Like,
it really
my
is.
God, we're basically in November now, right?
In so, like, gaming terms, 5 months is nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, it is absolutely nothing at all.
And it was so pleasing to see at the end of this trailer... It was March 2017. They weren't messing around with...
No delay, 100% on time.
Business, Q3 bollocks. They were saying March 2017, and that's great. I think they seem on track to get there. All this stuff is looking great and with it and marketable and ready to go. And that's exactly the position you want Nintendo to be in with a new system like the Switch. And that's exciting.
Yeah, so let's continue talking about games then, Bally. And maybe the other weird, like, Western third party coming along was the NBA game that was being played multiplayer. Again, an aspect that we didn't actually talk about, but you can connect two Switches wirelessly and then have four people playing, two on each screen. So, again, a certain use case, but it's good to know that, like, the local multiplayer ideas of 3DS are staying around, that you can still connect to other Switches.
Yeah, this is like LAN, you know? Like,
basically, yeah.
Let's connect two systems together but have multiple players on both systems. That's cool.
It is, yeah. It's totally a neat idea. But, yeah, I guess, you know, there's always sports games at launch of consoles. Does this tell us anything? No. It just says, hey, we made an NBA game. It's easy enough to pull. Let's do it. So I don't think that's significant. I don't think that's anywhere near as significant as Bethesda.
Definitely.
But they've got to throw it in there for the casual crowd, right? Like, it has to be there. Because that's what, when you're thinking about majority of people who buy a video game system, sports games are like the top seller. So you have to be on board with at least some of that stuff. I think that's a lot of the reason why Wii U failed with a bigger market, was because they just didn't have those at all.
If I'm an NBA fan, I want a system to play NBA. Am I going to buy a PS4 Pro and play NBA at home all the time, or am I going to buy a Switch and have the option to move about, bearing in mind it might even be cheaper than a Pro? And like, that's the sort of argument Nintendo can start saying, hey, look, we're in with the big boys, let's try this. And
they now have a legitimate reason to why people should buy third-party games on their platform.
And they've needed that extra oomph of why are they better? How are they going to compete? And so much we've said, oh, but they don't compete. And ultimately, they do compete to some degree. But like I said earlier in this reaction we're doing, now it seems like they're competing a lot more. And that is really ballsy.
Absolutely. So the other games that we can talk about are basically ports of Wii U games, or are they? Question mark.
Yeah, this is weird.
So we got Mario Kart, which was shown very briefly. Mario Kart seems like Mario Kart 8 in terms of the look, absolutely. Like, visually, it seems the exact same. But there are some weird little nuances that definitely tell us it's not a direct port of Mario Kart 8. For one, there are two item slots in each top corner. So does that mean a double dash style thing where you're stacking items? Obviously, in that game, you had two players who could have two individual items. But it may be, you know, something else, some weird addition. There's also the character King Boo, who apparently is not a character unlockable or playable in Mario Kart 8. So
Is this a DLC?
Yeah, of course he is. Is this Double Dash 2? No, I highly doubt that. This seems like a souped-up version of Mario Kart. So the way that I imagine this is the version that comes out on Switch is going to be basically Mario Kart 8, but there's going to be more characters, more DLC tracks just bundled in. All the previous DLC will already be there, of course. And then maybe some slight gameplay tweaks, like some slight different changes. But it really doesn't seem like they have had the time to go and make a brand new thing from scratch. Like, it looks so similar. And I think the exact same thing can be said about Splatoon. We saw very little of this Splatoon, but the differences were they had different hairstyles and the map they were playing on is different. And neither of those things scream to me sequel at all, because those are very easily changed, like, cosmetic things. Like, a map and hairstyles, that's not enough to warrant something completely different. So both of these to me seem like souped up ports, like not one to one. There's gonna be a lot more meat on the bone, but it's not enough to make it a distinctive sequel.
I would maybe slightly disagree with Mario Kart, where I think they're in a position where what they've shown off today could be like a facade. So it's here's Mario Kart, it's in the same engine as 8, all the Mario characters, great. Here's a recognizable track, it was Yoshi's Circuit, which has been on multiple Mario Kart games. But then when Mario Kart does get a reveal or a trailer, they say Samus is in the game, Fox is in the game. Yes. Here's the extra tracks. Here's this, that, and the other. And we're lulled into this false sense of, oh, it's just more Mario Kart. But then when they actually do the reveal, they create the hype. They create the excitement by saying, now it's still going to be called Mario Kart. Don't get me wrong, but it's going to be Smash Kart. And that,
yeah.
I still think they have that feather in their sleeve. And I wouldn't
put it past
them to do something like that with Splatoon. I'm not going to try and guess what it is, but at the bare minimum, like you said, it'll be maps and hairstyles. But I think Mario Kart, the scope of what they can do is quite obvious in many ways, where I think there's a lot of things they can do to create excitement.
Yeah, no, that actually does make sense. This could be fooling everyone. It could just be a tone piece, you know, be like, hey, you know these games,
Mario Kart 9.
Yeah. Right, like they're like, we have Splatoon, we have Mario Kart. These are franchises, you know, we're gonna do them. But these could just be like, hey, this is a taster of what's to come, as opposed to what will actually
they're
be
keeping
the final
their cards
product
close to their chest. I think on this
the one thing I'll say against that is that if they want to have this really killer lineup at launch, then I don't think they've had the time to create a brand new Splatoon. Mario Kart maybe, because Mario Kart came out a while ago, but Splatoon, yeah, I just don't think they've had the time to completely redo that thing. Smash Brothers, no fucking way in hell have they had the time. So
no.
Smash Brothers, if that's going to come out, that's going to be a souped up port as well, I imagine.
But it makes me confident that certainly either Splatoon or Mario Kart, and like you said, probably side with Mario Kart, will be launch, or if not launch window, and that's pretty exciting because of how well we know Mario Kart can sell.
Yeah. And I think that's all the games they showed, Bally. I don't think there's anything else.
Mario.
Oh, there you go. I was like, wait a second, there must be something. I knew I'm missing something. Of course, how
just
could we
forget?
Just
that little plumber that Nintendo chuck about the place.
Yeah, it was the briefest of glimpses, Bally.
It was the briefest of glimpses.
Such a short thing. So we see two different scenes. We see one of him. So this first scene I have dubbed Guacamario, because it is literally like this Mexican town, like Guacamole. So I thought that was my tweet.
See what
we
did there,
yeah.
See what you did there.
It was a pretty good, I thought it was a pretty good tweet, I have to say. So it looks like some sort of town. Does that indicate that this is more of a Mario 64 style Mario game, where you're kind of going to hub worlds and things like that? Does it indicate a different open world thing? The other kind of glimpse we get seemed like a much more linear level, where you're going down chased by a Bullet Bill. Very brief glimpse, looks exactly like 3D World though, gives me those vibes. The camera is 100% a traditional 3D Mario camera.
Yeah.
Like, no more kind of isometric style. Like, this is definitely not a 3D World situation. Feels like a single player game, and that instills confidence in me, because I think the reason I didn't like 3D World as much was because the design was so focused on multiplayer and I was playing it single player, this looks like a return to form.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I mean, obviously we saw hardly any and it looked like a 3D Mario, and that's great, but like you said, it is certainly closer to that Mario 64 style, Galaxy, Sunshine style, whatever you want to call it, and that is nice, because I agree, as much as I do love 3D World and I think it's a fantastic game, it's not as good as the more open world aspects of Mario, especially like Galaxy 1 and 2. Like, it's there's a big jump for me.
Yeah, totally. It's hard to really discuss anything because it was so brief, but it seems like there might be levels where you go into from a hub world. I don't know, like, the tone and the place and the setting is kind of really up in the air because it's not very set down. Like, it's not a Galaxy thing where it's set in space, or a Mario 64 where, you know, it's in a castle. Like, you have this one area which is this Mexican town, you have this other area where it's just this linear traditional level. So, like, from that, I can't really set in stone what the theme of this game is. Like, if I was to try and choose a name right now, I couldn't, you know? So that tells you how little we've seen so far. Also probably tells you why I forgot to talk about it, because it was so brief, you know?
I also think they might have, similar to my theory about Mario Kart, gone for something as generic as possible as a facade and reveal something a lot more spectacular and stylized later that might have a clear, but you might be able to associate a clear name with it, you know?
Yeah. It definitely feels like, you know, they had 3 minutes here to work with. they can't give us much. They're going to tease us more because there's more questions to be asked. And I think Nintendo, like, someone was making a comment on Twitter that this is the first tease by Nintendo. They know how hungry people are for Switch information, and they're going to tease us out. And they have time.
That was a lot of teasing.
There's a lot of information, and they have 5 months in which to slowly drip feed it into our fucking brains. So get ready to just have that still be a thing, unfortunate as that is.
And, you know, 2017, they're going to want to keep the whole launch lineup. It's going to be obviously massively important, but they want to gradually get games out one by one up until the holiday season of 2017. And you're just, we're like on this like gravy train of just Nintendo information where they're going to try and sell as many obviously Switches as possible in that first year. And it's going to be exciting to see how they market all these games that we've talked about and what other games there are to come that we haven't seen yet. You know, is the Metroid actually going to happen? Like, maybe, maybe not. Like, it's really interesting to see if that could be a factor.
Yeah, totally. So, Bally, is there anything about the trailer specifically itself
yeah.
to talk about before we move on to something else?
I'm just looking at a screenshot from the little section you see of Mario, and there are some amiibos on the counter.
Yeah, you're right.
In front of the TV screen. And, you know, we've talked a lot about amiibo and how we're quite not cold on them, just indifferent to them. But, you know, obviously I think it's sensible to keep amiibo away from a reveal trailer like this. I think that was smart. But it's just interesting to have them.
I mean, they're still there. They're not away from the trailer.
They're still there, but I think it's interesting to just put them in a really subtle way, just to say, yeah,
sure.
They're still here.
To indicate, hey, by the way, they're going to work on this system.
Yeah. Do I think they're going to work on the system?
No, I said they're here to say, by the way, they're going to work on the system still.
Yeah, they will.
Yes. To be honest, I don't think there's going to be any kind of pad that you put them on or anything. I think that the screen itself will just have
like
functionality for NFC built in.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
With regards to the trailer, a couple of points I wanted to make. Just first of all, how great it was, the examples they used, where you have a man and his dog going from inside to outside when the dog wanted out. Fantastic. Going on the plane, putting the stand up, playing home console games on the go. Fantastic. I really, really, really like the little pro gaming bit they did at the end, where they got this stadium full and they have these two teams and they're training and they're talking about strategy using their Switches and saying, oh, look at this, we could do this on this map in Splatoon. And then they go back in the stadium and they play a game and they just slot their systems into the home console part and start playing in front of a stadium of thousands of people. I thought that was just such a nice reference to the pro gaming community and hyping up Splatoon on top of that. And it was just a really interesting way, because they're saying, look, if you're a pro gamer, you can bring your NX on the go and you can actually bring it with
you. Can
you
train wherever you are.
You can train wherever you are. You can do your strategy in the back room where you don't have to be plugged into any TVs or anything. You do it on your Switch. And that's a really exciting, cool thing, because when you start thinking about Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, Splatoon, Nintendo might push the whole tournament thing a bit more, you know, like they did with Smash Brothers back at E3. So that kind of thing is interesting.
I think they're absolutely 100% in on doing stuff like that with Splatoon and Smash Brothers specifically.
Definitely.
Like, those are two games which they have committed to and are now working in tandem with communities. So it makes such logical sense. Like, there is no way Smash Brothers doesn't get ported to this thing.
I have a question.
I would stake my life that Smash Brothers is going to be ported to Switch.
Like, oh, I think
no question.
But I also think that's a valuable card to keep to your chest, but they might not want revealed in this trailer. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they'll talk about it before launch. It'll happen. Like, there's no question in my mind. The last
as a
thing,
quick question.
Okay, go ahead.
Motion controls. Of the times of them playing Splatoon, were any of them ever using like motion gyro to shoot?
The people playing Splatoon, it looked like they were all using pro controllers.
Okay.
When they were training, like they had their screens in front of them, they still had pro controllers. So it doesn't look like that's there. It could be. It's another thing where people are like, this device doesn't have a touchscreen. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is a screen in 2016. Of course it's going to be a touchscreen. Like, you're all high if you think it's not.
It's so big as well.
But just because they didn't touch it in the trailer, you're assuming it's not? Like, come on, guys. Like, obviously, you don't need to say that because that's such an obvious feature. Is gyro an obvious feature? I don't know. I don't know. It's the same kind of, like, thing that is assumed as a touchscreen is. But, like, as far as the rumors go, the rumors have said it's a touchscreen and it's capacitive. So I 100% believe that that's the case. Gyro is the other question.
It surely has to be a touchscreen for the simple fact that you can disconnect both something cons? What are they called?
Joy-Cons!
The fact that you can disconnect both Joy-Cons and just hold the tablet implies that surely you have to have an ability to control that tablet when the Joy-Cons are detached.
Yes.
So yeah. I would say it's touchscreen. Yeah. Anyway.
Any more questions, Bally?
Because
there's one thing I want to point out.
I was going to talk about the wider picture and if we're going to hear anything next week, so maybe make your point first.
Okay. Well, there's other stuff to discuss before you do that
okay,
as well.
Okay, no, go for it.
The thing that was an interesting tidbit that someone pointed out was the Pro Controller looks like it has a bit of translucency going on, where you can kind of see the innards underneath. And I just thought that's a nice nod to, like, the N64 era, where you have those translucent controllers, and the GBA era as well.
The GBA, and there was a Game Boy Color that sold quite well that was very was translucent. Yeah. No, that's cool.
So that's what it looks like. It looks like you can kind of see the parts underneath it. Yeah, it's a thing Nintendo have done before.
In terms of the look, very quickly, I'd want to point out, and I've seen two color schemes, I should add. There's one that's black and graphite, but there's another one that's like a slightly lighter graphite, almost like an NES gray, where it also has black and red buttons, and I just think
that's a Photoshop.
Is it a Photoshop?
Yeah, but there's loads of Photoshops going on right now. Don't be fooled by them.
Ignore me. I'm a sucker for that stuff. I'm an absolute sucker.
I know you are. there's some people have been making mock-ups of different colors, and some of them look so good. Some of them look
plays amazing. Back into that customizable thing I was mentioning.
Totally. Yes. 100 like colored Joy-Cons is going to happen. 100%. No doubt about that.
But for now, I like the black. I like the graphite. It's looking good.
Yes, it looks good. So the last thing I want to talk about is the list of supported developers partnered developers. So someone actually posted on Twitter a comparison shot between the list of Wii U supported developers and the list of Switch supported developers. It's kind of alarming, the difference. But I'm going to step back and say again,
the homework.
This is launch. Everyone could abandon them. Okay, like, we need to understand that, because people go crazy like, oh my god, all these people, but Nintendo have to sell the fucking system and then they'll put their games on it. As it is, though, it's relatively encouraging. You have the big dogs. There's Activision, there's EA, there's Ubisoft. Like, those are your three kind of core tenants of Western publishing. You got them there. You got Take-Two, who are huge as well. Take-Two, obviously parent company, they own 2K, they own Rockstar today, they released a trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2. No mention of Switch, so whatever. I doubt
maybe
that
they weren't allowed to mention Switch or something.
That doesn't make sense, because the Switch is being revealed now, so it would make sense for them to be able to if they were able to. But to be honest, they haven't even mentioned PC yet. That's the biggest crime in my mind. So yeah, Take-Two possibly. Some notable interesting ones, I thought. Bethesda, the hugest one, of course. Like, that is that's a knock to the face. Bethesda. Crazy. The other interesting one I thought was Telltale, because Telltale have done a little bit of stuff on Nintendo platforms. I think the Minecraft game came out on Wii U. The Minecraft Telltale game
what
came
else
out.
Is there?
That's the only one, I think.
Okay, right.
But like, they have a lot of like franchises they're doing, so I do think that they're going to be doing more of those.
Is that hinting that they're going to potentially do a Nintendo Telltale game?
I don't know that's hinting at anything, but I would say that if Nintendo was smart, they would try and lock that down, you know? Like, yeah, Telltale seemed to want to sleep with every franchise under the sun, so, you know, Nintendo have some franchises. So I would say that. The real big one that sticks out to me, actually, is From Software. And obviously these guys, the creators of Dark Souls, they are, you know, revered by everyone in the industry. And the notion of a portable Dark Souls kind of makes Dark Souls more appealing to me, because portable games I feel a detachment from, that I don't like get absorbed in things in the same way that I do with a big TV screen. So does that mean I'll play a Dark Souls game? Who knows? But I'll tell you what, that makes me... It makes me way more likely to play one if I can play it portably. So that's really interesting. The other question people have been raising is, like, does that mean they make Zelda Souls? Like, do they partner with From Software to make a Zelda-style Souls game? In which case, yes, I will play it then, because it will be not dark and horrible, but nice and adventure-y, and also have that great combat. So that would be fucking rad. But yeah, I mean, when we talk about other people... Codemasters is a weird one, because they're definitely a sports-based thing. They do, you know, racing stuff. Have you played a Codemasters game? I can't remember.
Maybe, I don't know. The name sounds familiar.
I mean, they do fucking F1 games and things like that, right?
So I mean, if they did them back to the N64 and driving games back then, I might have, but maybe not later than that.
Yeah, I mean, Konami's on this list, which is funny. So that's the thing. Epic Games are listed. I think that might just be for Unreal support, to be honest. Like, I don't think Epic are necessarily going to... I mean, I'm not sure Epic are really making that many games these days anyway, but I do not think that Epic are putting a video game. I think it's just the engine is going to be supported. THQ Nordic, those guys definitely... makes sense. Tokyo RPG Factory. When we kind of like spread out here, the Japanese developers are obvious. Like Spike Chunsoft, yeah. Square Enix, Capcom, Atlus, obviously. Level 5, of course. Sega, of course. Platinum, of course. Like a lot of these are obvious picks, but there are some interesting ones in there that I thought I would point out, because this is different from what
we've kind of seen. This is pretty impressive.
Before. Yeah, it is. It is. It's much more impressive than I was expecting. Like, I did not think they were going to really talk much about any Western partners, and they have a few notable ones that they have not had in the past. I think that is like most of the information we have, Bali. Like, there's little things here and there, like the news about the custom NVIDIA Tegra chip happening, some other things, some little like minute details, but I think we've broadly covered a lot of stuff.
And I think things will come out in the coming days as people watch those 3 minutes again and again and again and again, and someone spots some tiny little thing that everyone hyperventilates about later online.
Yeah.
So I think there might be a couple of interesting pointers to come, but maybe not been discovered yet.
Yeah, and of course, next week is the investor briefing, 26th. So there will 100% be questions asked about Switch. People will want to know some upcoming things, some more details, some more concrete specifics. So that is going to be an important time.
One thing I'd be interested to see if they reveal in some form next week would be something like the OS. I'd like to see... like, how is that all going to work? Because obviously we saw nothing from this trailer. So I'd be intrigued, because it's such an important part, you know, of Nintendo systems, how they work, how they operate. What's the eShop's going to be like? How's that going to work? These are all... there's a long list of questions like this that we're all going to find out, hopefully, between now and March. And it's just finding out when we're going to find out those things. I think that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, they're definitely going to drip feed this information. I don't think we'll get something like that from the investor briefing.
No.
If they were to show off stuff like that, it would definitely be in a direct or a video presentation of some kind. Question still looms though, Bally. How are they going to do the like full blowout? Are they going to do a full blowout? Is there going to be an event for this? Will press be invited to play it? Lot of questions there. Like, how do you think it's actually going to happen now? Do you think a direct is still the obvious choice? Or is an event going to be out there?
I think that they have to have, and this is potentially going to happen next week, maybe before the investor briefing, is a direct. It might be 20 minutes long, half an hour long. And then a big part of that is saying, this is the Switch. This is how it works, how it plugs in, how it does this. And then the other part of that is saying, this is Mario. This is a bit more of this game. And maybe a reveal of one more game that we've not seen yet, potentially. Who knows? But I think there has to be some sort of direct in the while the hype is real, while the hype is high, like right now. I don't think they can potentially delay explaining how it all works too long. And I think, like you said, we said about the investor meeting, they're going to want to know how that stuff works. They need more than perhaps just this trailer. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they don't and they're already happy. I don't know, really. So,
yeah, well, there's still a lot to find out. And I'm sure we will find it out in the coming months because there are not many left and they have to still tell us a bunch. But Bali, I think that's going to close out our Switch Spectacular here, where we
Spectacular.
Yeah, we just went for over an hour about three fucking minutes of video. So welcome to how you fucking squeeze blood from a stone. You know, it's a lot of stuff to talk surrounding it. So very important that we just drill down into the details. So yeah, that's going to be us, Bali. Before we go, tell people where you can find us, all those separate places.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Ballyman91. That's BallyMan91. And you can follow the podcast Twitter account. That's at TNL Podcast. Check us out. If you've just dropped in because you wanted a bit of news on the Switch and you're just like, hey, who are these guys? I just listened to them talk for an hour. I'm mad. We do a podcast. You can check it out. It comes out every 2 weeks. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe on iTunes. This Nintendo Life. That's us.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at LordNBZ. We are everywhere and we are awesome and we are amazing. So if you would like to have more of us, then go seek us out because we live on the ethereal plane of the Switch lands. Yeah, Bali, anything else we need to say before we go?
The hype train starts here.
It begins. It begins and ends with this Nintendo Life. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, thank you all for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. And we'll be back next time. Goodbye, everyone.